This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Christine Wong and you're listening to Enterprise. There are moments running a company where you might run into some issues. Problems like negligent hiring and fraudulent business transactions can often be the line between success and failure. But there is no better cure than prevention. And today we speak to Mark Liao, founder of Verity Intelligence, to find out more about the business of background screening. So first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Christine. Good morning.
Good morning. Right. So let's just start with the basics. So Verity Intelligence is a background screening and verification company. You were established in 2010, if I believe.
End of 2010.
And you operate in both Malaysia and Singapore.
That's right.
Can you explain the concept of background screening and verification company further?
Well, an employee screening company helps company hire better people. Basically, we filter out the good and the bad. So we verify a resume to see whether it's authentic. Sometimes, well, more often than not, you know, people lie in their resume and exaggerate a lot of stuff. And when they join a company, they are not able to perform. Or sometimes they commit a fraud because they've already had a bad past. So basically, an employee screening company will help customers basically filter out these people.
Right, I see. Why did you decide to pursue employee verification?
Right. Thanks for asking. Well, I started it in 2010. Before that, I was a headhunter. So when I was helping my customers hire people, we had to screen the candidates as, you know, any headhunter would do. And whenever I, you know, run through a resume and, you know, I discovered that a lot of people would actually lie in their resume. They would exaggerate a lot of stuff. And when we did a lot of reference check, the references that they've given were not really the actual, you know, people they actually work for. And it made it very inaccurate when we had to verify the performance. And when these people get the jobs in a company, if they're not verified properly, they actually cause a lot of problems with the company and companies lose a lot of money from there. And my customers weren't very happy when, you know, they weren't verified properly.
Yeah, of course. I mean, definitely this is something that I think is a big issue because a lot of applicants, you know, they may or may not know the ramifications, I guess, of editing their resumes and things like that to the extent that some people do. So I think it's important for people to understand that that is actually something that you should try to avoid, right?
Yeah. So,
what are your company's values and how does that contribute to how you run?
Well, we have our own core values. You know, it's virtuous, efficient, respect, integrity, trust, and yes-minded. And whenever we do any of our work, we look at the resume and we tell ourselves, look, you know, it's not innocent until proven guilty, but guilty until proven innocent.
Right.
And the reason because we have to scrutinize the resume that we're looking at so that we can help our customers hire better and to filter out, you know, all the good and the bad and make sure that it's as accurate as possible.
All right. So moving on from that, is there a specific stage or kind of situation that a company is in when they require your services? So, you know, does a company approach you at the beginning of you know, their hiring process or only when the issue arises as such?
Well, it's a combination of both.
Okay.
A lot of companies come to me because there's a certain compliance to do it, regulatory compliance. So you're talking about the multinational companies, the financial institutions. They use it because the regulators require them to do it. Then there's also human resource best practices. That's why multinational companies have used it. Other than that, it would be bad experiences that, you know, smaller, medium enterprises have experienced. So for fear of it happening again, they look for companies like us. Unfortunately, most of the SMEs out there are not aware about what we do. And, you know, whenever I meet people out there and I tell them what I do and they're usually surprised.
Yeah, I was actually about to ask, you know, like, if there was a difference in, you know, the issues that a multinational company would have in comparison to an SME, right? And like how, but you've kind of said that with the multinational companies, they will tend to approach you at the beginning because of the regulatory compliances, whereas SMEs will kind of, that they'll take the more as and when route, I guess, right?
One is proactive, one is reactive.
Yeah, I see. That's actually really interesting. And I think that, again, as you've mentioned, this is something that a lot of SMEs will not consider. A lot of budding entrepreneurs will not think about this kind of stuff until it happens. So it's going to be fascinating to discuss a little bit more about how that all works. And hopefully, if any budding entrepreneurs and any SMEs are listening who have not yet thought about these issues, they can learn something today.
Yes, definitely.
Right. So how do background screenings help protect a company's interest?
Well, in essence, background screening help our customers hire better employees. We're talking about the A players. We work with a lot of large companies and very successful companies. And I think people need to realize that, you know, the success of a company depends on its employees. So if you've got really, really good employees, there's a high chance of success because they're able to deliver. This is where SMEs have lost out because they're not aware about this secret weapon that, you know, bigger companies are using. So in essence, smaller companies will probably need to start looking at hiring better people by using screening solutions so that we can help them hire better people and in the end benefit, you know, everybody.
Right. So when you're conducting these background checks, what are you looking for exactly? What are some of the red flags?
Whenever we run a check for a client, we normally ask them to look at the risk exposure of the job. Now, it depends on the, you know, the particular job description of the, you know, person. So if you're hiring, let's say, a driver, you know, a personal driver, he's probably considered high risk for us because he's exposed to the boss's family, kids, you know, the information that the bosses may be in the car. So if you're hiring, say, a salesperson, then, of course, he's got your contact list and stuff like that. So, okay, medium to high risk, depending on the assets that he's going to be pushing. So it totally depends on the position that they're in and the risk exposure. Some positions may be considered low risk. So it totally depends.
Yeah, that's actually very interesting to think about the idea of it's not just a one-size-fits-all kind of process, right? It's
exactly.
Very much so personalized to, as you've
that's
said,
right.
the level of risk. When you conduct a background check, how do you ensure the lack of bias, right? The accuracy and the, you know, how does that work?
Okay, well, we have databases that we work on, and these are usually databases that we actually procure from credit reporting agencies, from, you know, the various ministries, and we get this information. And, you know, the information is as good as what we get. Then there's respondent checks. We verify with education institutions. We verify with previous employers. And, you know, if the previous employer doesn't want to give us the information, then we're just limited. So our hands are kind of tied if they don't want to give all the information. But most of the time, when they understand that it's for the benefit of the candidate and also the future employer, they usually would because, you know, we already have the consent of the candidate to actually do the verification.
Right. So just kind of thinking about this from a further away standpoint, I guess.
Okay.
What are some of the misconceptions that your clients may or may not have about the concepts of employment and background checks and all of that? Because I think when people hear background check, they think of like in the movies when people are going into, you know, all these, they're typing away at their computers and,
right.
So what are some of the misconceptions about these processes?
Okay. Thanks. I'm glad you asked that. Number one, we are not a private investigation company. That's the major misconception that I get. And I'm not James Bond or anything like that. Number two, it's not an invasive as people would assume that it is because we normally get a consent of the candidate before we actually screen that person. So it's not invasive. And third, I think a lot of people think that it's expensive, which is not because our charges starts at 50 right up to 500. So it depends on the amount of checks you want to do. So it's really inexpensive.
Yeah, that's so interesting to hear because, I mean, especially the last one is definitely a misconception that I have had. I think because of the way, you know, when you do see this kind of process in media, it is always portrayed as very intense.
Yep.
And also to know that these background checks are not carried out in the background, in a way, right? Like
yeah,
it is carried out with people's knowledge and consent, and it is something that you know. Not only will the company benefit, but also the candidate knows that this is something that will prove
that
you know
their
genuineness,
yep.
I suppose. So that's actually really fascinating, right? So let's say in a situation where something does arise and an issue is found during a background check, what is the next step past that?
Well, for us, we call that discrepancies,
okay,
or red flags. And whenever we discover any red flags, we actually put it in a resume. But we do not make any recommendations. Clients do ask. We do advise to a certain extent, but we leave the decision-making to them.
Right.
So they actually are the last decision-makers for that when there's any discrepancies. So they will then profile it and see if it what is their own risk assessment, their own risk appetite, sorry. And they make the decision from there.
Right. So it's one of those things where you provide the information, mm-hmm, and it's up to the client to decide what to do with that information.
Yep.
Right, I see. We are going to take a short break, but after that, I'll be speaking to Mark Liao, founder of Verity Intelligence, about some of the challenges of running a background screening business. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Boyish 40-something millionaires, BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong, speaking to Mark Liao, the founder of Verity Intelligence. What are some case studies that you have experienced where discrepancies have arose, I suppose?
One of the most a very good one would be actually one of the most vulnerable departments in a company, and most companies would have it, would be the accounts department. And a lot of people neglect this department because they would think that, they're not very high level. You have a lot of admin accounts people, a lot of clerks, running the department. They don't really want to screen these people, and all the screening criteria is very minimal. But what's interesting is that most of our discrepancies or the interesting stories that we get would be in the accounts department. We've had an experience where, one of my customers has hired an accounts admins person for the first week, and she was fantastic. She did everything in the office, picked up all the calls. She was very efficient. And within a week, they couldn't find her. She didn't turn up to work, so they were just curious what happened. And later they discovered that, because she was in, she had the company's checkbook. As with most small companies, the admins clerk would have access to the company's checkbook. And the danger was, what she did was she actually cut out the last check on the checkbook's stub. And she wrote a check to herself, and then she cashed it out. After that, they reported this to police, and the police say, "Ini case ke empat," or "This is the fourth case," because she's done this before, and it's kind of syndicated. And she's stolen, I think, about over R1 million.
Wow!
And there's nothing you can do. And even we ourselves, we've had, when we were looking for accounts people, we've even interviewed a lady or a girl who's about 26, 27 years old with 2 CBT charges.
Wow.
And, they're just out there, And we've, apart from that, sales department, we've had salespeople running away with companies' assets. They sell it for cash at a discount, and then they take the cash and they disappear. And it's a very common thing that's happening, and it affects everybody, big or small companies.
So according to the KPMG Malaysia Fraud Survey taken in 2013, 49% of Malaysian companies have experienced fraud, and 68% of that fraud is committed internally.
That's right.
So how does Verity Intelligence approach those issues?
Well, right now, we've got a new product, and we help our clients run post-employment screening. So not only we screen them before you hire, we help companies screen after they've hired. You see, the thing is, a lot of employees, their loyalty for the company might change over time. Now, if they're financially pressured, there's a certain level where they see a gap in their process or in their job that they might, take advantage of. And, with the right kind of pressure, they will take that, that step. So a lot of people out there during economics, very turbulent economic situation, they will be faced with this kind of pressure. So,
yeah, I think it's safe to say that the general motivation behind committing these acts is desperation, that is motivated by their own problematic financial situations as well. Mm-hmm. So in regards to the kind of checks that you do, obviously you do more than just, there are multiple types, right? So can you go into a bit more detail about those those differences?
Okay, so we help our clients run criminal, financial, conflict of interest, education checks, reference checks, employment history checks, some of the regulatory blacklist. One of the other interesting one that we usually do would be the conflict of interest checks. So whenever we run conflict of interest checks, this is with regards to the procurement department. They want to make sure that they hire people who do not have any conflict of interest with their existing company, because there could be a danger there as well. So the risk exposure for that is actually quite high.
What would constitute a conflict of interest?
Meaning, let's say if you're trading company and you're trading stationery or computer, you know, products, and your wife or your, you know, you have another trading company that trades computers and stationeries and stuff like that. That would be a conflict of interest, because whenever there's a project, you know, or there's a sale, you could be selling your products instead of the company's products.
Right, I see. Yeah. I think that's really interesting. But I would like to just talk a little bit about, you know, some of the challenges. Because obviously all of this is very, first of all, you're dealing with a lot of sensitive information regularly and things like that. But also from what I can gather, a lot of this information is gathered through, you know, public records and things like that. And so as I think we've mentioned before the break, after a point, you know, there's only so much that you can do.
That's right.
Right. So can you kind of go a little bit more into detail about the challenges of running a business like this?
Well, one of the challenges that we have is with criminal checks. And the reason is because of PDPA. When PDPA, or Personal Data Protection Act, was enforced in 2014, most of the time when we used to verify, you know, criminal checks, we were able to go take the consent letter to the police station and then verify from there. Unfortunately, after 2014, we're not able to do that because of Personal Data Protection Act. So it's, I think, classified under sensitive information. So now we rely on a lot of whatever that we get in the media, in public records, in you know, the databases that we keep, of any kind of criminal findings. So the accuracy of criminal checks are very limited now, and that's where the challenges that we're facing. And a lot of clients, we're not able to help the clients hire safely.
Right. So I mean, I don't know how much you'll be able to answer this question, I guess. But what are some of the, I guess, the steps that you guys are taking in order to combat that obstacle? Like, is there anything that can be done, or is it just something that
actually
has to be left?
No, it has to be left, yeah. Mm. Because it gets up to the government to decide, yeah.
Right, I see. Moving on from challenges, right, let's talk about successes. So what happened, you know, what are some of the benefits? Like, clearly, obviously, the obvious benefit that springs to mind is the fact that they'll hire someone that is good and will work for them and will not steal money and will, you know, that will be legitimate and they'll be great. But, you know, what are some of the other benefits that people might not know about when it comes to doing these kinds of checks?
Well, apart from, you know, hiring better people and doing better for your company, you want to make sure that you keep your, you know, people safe as well, your employees safe. You want to make sure that your customers are safe, you know, and some of these benefits could be for various kinds of businesses. For instance, if you are a hospital or a nursing care, you want to make sure that the kids are safe or your patients are, you know, which are very vulnerable, are safe. So these are the things that could benefit a company by having a system like this or a solution like this. You also want to make sure that, well, you want to protect your company's image. You want to make sure that whenever you hire good people, you screen. And, you know, if you don't screen, you know, you're probably going to hire a fraud or people who's going to cause some reputational damages to your company's brand or, you know, company's image. And it's very detrimental. So one of the more important things that screening can help is to actually help improve your reputational image.
It's both an internal and external benefit.
That's right.
A lot of local firms and a lot of local businesses, I think, do lack a lot of awareness with regards to the concept of verification. They might prefer to only perform background checks on senior level potential hires. And then, you know, as has been discussed, that can result in repercussions when something goes wrong. So I'm just kind of curious to see, you know, do you intend on communicating that, like on educating, you know, these, you know, would you approach local businesses with the idea of communicating the importance of background screening?
Right. That's what we're doing right now. I do give talks, and I've done one with Malaysian Employers Federation last year. And just a week ago, we did one with Master Builders Association in Malaysia to educate them about knowing your employees. So we constantly educate our client, even through our Facebook page, through our website, through our blogs, to educate them the importance of screening and sharing with them the stories that we've caught. So, you know, you can check out our website.
Right. And on the first of all, the website is verityintel.com.
Yeah.
So if you would like to know more information about that, do check that out. I believe you guys have a journal on there where you discuss a lot
of issues. That's right. We've got a lot. If you can't remember, then it's knowyouremployee.com.my.
Excellent. Yeah. And on the flip side as well, when it comes to the candidates themselves, who may or may not know the ramifications of editing their resume and such like, would you consider approaching them and also educating them on that side of the issue?
Right. Right now, we're not really ready for that yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we like to approach the colleges and universities and teach them about how to write a resume and to keep it honest. Because a lot of times, you know, it starts from when they're kids and they will think that writing a resume is to try to boast or exaggerate as much as you can. And then when they get a job, they try to wing it to do the job. Unfortunately, you know, when you do that, people who actually deserve the jobs, you know, people who are honest and are able to perform, they lose out. So, you know, we want to go out there and educate the kids or the students that they shouldn't lie about it. They should keep it honest. If they've got a embellishment or they've got a blemish, they should be honest about it and then change from there and improve themselves and, you know, show the company that, look, you know, I'm very honest about it. I want you to know that this has happened before and, you know, I want to do a good job.
Yeah, I think that's so, so important, especially as someone who, you know, I think with my generation as well, a lot of us are very paranoid and a lot of us are very nervous about the competitive job market. And mm-hmm. it's one of those things where occasionally you feel, again, kind of motivated by desperation, right? And you feel that you need to take it a step too far when it comes to this kind of issue. So definitely talking, because also when it comes to education, you don't get taught a lot about how to apply for jobs, right?
You don't
really get a lot of information about that or what is or isn't necessarily appropriate.
Yep.
So I think that the fact that you guys are going to talk to colleges and universities is so, so important so that everyone can be educated about this. And hopefully in the future, the kind of etiquette will change for the better. Right. That's about all the time we have. But thank you so much, Mark, for coming on Enterprise today.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you for having me.
It's been lovely hearing you shed some light on the business of background screening. All right, I'm Christine Wong, speaking to Mark Liao, founder of Verity Intelligence. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.